It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hands.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the final episode for this season. This is Tariq joining you along with Karan.
Hey guys.
And Karan, as European correspondent, this also is your final assignment for the season because we are recording this pod. Well, just about 14-15 hours after that incredible scenes in Madrid, where Liverpool lifted their sixth European Cup, a tournament we consider ours by right. Much as the Starks might consider the Iron Throne theirs by right in Game of Thrones. But all that aside, Karan, I mean, it finally happened.
Yes, it did. It did, and I would dare anyone to say it wasn't deserved.
Yeah, hard to make a case that that it wasn't deserved, and we, of course, had been discussing just before we started recording this podcast that the quality of the final, of course, it would not really make the Hall of Fame of the Champions League final of the last 1 year. But at the same time, what mattered at the end was the result and a dimension from Liverpool that we really had not seen all season, which was that they had to grind out a very ugly result, and they did it because they needed to.
Absolutely. I think this was one aspect of Liverpool's game which has always concerned us about, in a big game situation where the game is not really free-flowing, would they have it in them to grind out a result? They've never done it until now, but what a night for them to finally do it. And I don't really, and like I said, I don't think you can ask for a better occasion for them to do it. Fair enough. And just to kind of, you know, extend on your point, yes, it wasn't the most entertaining of finals, but in recent seasons, it's pretty obvious that finals are not meant to be that way. You look at, with the exception of probably the World Cup final last year, you look at the preceding World Cup finals, you look at maybe a couple of the Euro finals, even the Champions League finals on a couple of occasions, which involved teams such as Real Madrid, where they had to, you know, scrape a penalty victory over Atletico a few years back. So it ends up by nature being quite cagey. The games leading up to the finals can really blow our minds away, which it did again this time around. But I think it was pretty much up to script, like how finals have been played in recent years.
And there was this feeling among Spurs fans before the game that essentially most of the Spurs fans were sort of like, may the best team have an off day and best of luck to Spurs, because they knew that they, in terms of the matchup, Liverpool clearly had the edge. And the second thing that Jurgen Klopp pointed out in one of the post-match interviews was that quite simply, the difference in the game was that Liverpool did not have any bad luck. And he has been talking about that for quite a while. He talked about last year when they had a spot of bad luck in the final, or in general in the league a couple of times here or there, they've had luck turned against them. And he simply said that yesterday night was the result, that we did not have bad luck, and we just stuck to what was the task that was required.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. A competition like the Champions League, which runs for a period of around 8 to 10 months, right? And where, unlike a league campaign where you have games every weekend and every other weekday, midweek, right? It's one-off games over the course of, you know, 10 months. You play about 15, 16 games. To win this competition, you do need a little bit of luck. There's no question about it. I mean, you have a few injuries here. You need to have, you know, some critical moments, which in hindsight you can look back on now and you know, think, if it had gone the other way, maybe, you know, we might not have made it here, etc., etc. And just to give you a small little example, Alisson's save against Napoli late in the game. Now, in hindsight, we can go back. I'm not saying that there's luck involved in it. I mean, he's proved himself again last night. But
that,
you know,
was a crucial crucial element. And I mean,
absolutely. And there are a lot of these things which will come into play. I mean, let's just take an example of the previous season with Real Madrid, who were, you know, in the quarterfinals, as painful as it is for me to, you know, relive that. You could still make out that, you know, they got that penalty, what was in the 97th minute. Fair enough. You do get these sorts of incidents, and sometimes it works for you, sometimes it doesn't. And having said that, that will only probably add about 10 percent of what you need to do or what is required to win. The remaining 90%, you still have to go out there and get the result, and score the goals, and keep the clean sheets, which is what Liverpool have done.
And but keeping the clean sheet, of course, has been one of their hallmarks this season, because especially with Virgil van Dijk calling the shots in the back and on the wings, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andrew Robertson being immense. Plus, of course, you mentioned Alisson in goal. I mean, yesterday he pulled off a bunch of saves. The most number of saves any keeper has pulled off in a Champions League final since the stats have been kept. But there is another interesting aspect that we were talking about, Karan, which is you talked about going out there and getting the job done. Spurs concede a penalty within the first 30 seconds. We could debate about the nature of the penalty and whether it should have been given or not. I mean, it's sort of like the PSG incident redux all over again. That was at the fag end of the game. This is right at the beginning.
Absolutely, I think.
But
yeah,
we were saying that Spurs kind of left a little bit of themselves in the dressing room. Maybe by the time this started, they were not up to the level of intensity they should have been at.
Yeah, true. I think this is the difference between a team that has made their first European Cup final and a team that has won five before them and lost a couple of finals as well. So Liverpool, yes, it might be a different team to the one that won in 2005. Definitely a different squad, different club to the ones that dominated football back in the 80s. But that DNA is still ingrained in the annals of Anfield. There's no question about it. So Liverpool historically know how to perform in big game scenarios. Tottenham, yes, it's been a great run for them, but in a big game situation like this, yes, they've had FA Cup finals, they've had other sorts of big games, but this is a Champions League final. You cannot afford even a millisecond of a relaxed attitude, and that basically happened. I mean, how could you let somebody like a Mane run at you with just 20 seconds just 20 seconds into the game? And they basically walked right into it.
And it began with Virgil van Dijk beating Harry Kane to a ball at the other end, and he passed it on. The ball came forward, went to Mane, and essentially Mane took full advantage. Like somebody pointed out, this is Mane doing NBA style, drawing the foul right there in the paint.
pretty much I think. I mean, in fact, probably a bit later I can give you another NBA reference when we're talking about Tottenham's performance overall, but I think you hit the nail right on the head there, because he was smart enough to make sure that to realize that he was pretty much alone in that situation as he was heading into the box, and there was no one really there to support him, so he took the best possible opportunity, tried his luck, and it worked for him.
And of course, towards the end, there was another rather poetic moment, because it was Divock Origi who scored the second insurance goal to make sure that the result kind of did not feel as tainted as some Spurs fans might contend. Origi has incredible stats this season. He has 3 shots in the entire tournament and 3 goals.
Yeah, well, that's not that's basically what you need, right? I mean, there are players who go the entire season with a shot almost every other minute, and they probably don't even score half of what Origi scored in this competition. But I think there's nothing more you can ask for. I mean, you take your opportunities when they come, and he's done it. And I think until probably last night, I would have thought that Origi's biggest goal was that really, really late winner against Everton. But again, he did one better this time around.
And you are forgetting Origi's late goal against Barcelona. Well, not as late, but nonetheless, the fourth one against Barcelona too.
Of course, I mean, it's exactly. There have been so many great moments for Liverpool. It's just hard to keep track of everything.
And of course, if you look at the entire campaign, we have to talk about those 3 away losses that Liverpool had. And this is an example of a team that sort of learned from them, or probably built back from them, because they went to Paris and they lost. Of course, we know the loss at Napoli, and in particular the loss in Serbia would have really hurt, because they went and that was the one shocking performance of almost the entire season that they put in, where they lost 2-0. And of course the loss at Barcelona. So do you think that would make us look at the season in new light, if we kind of looked at those losses and kind of tried to trace what happened after those losses that shaped the season?
Well, probably you can exclude the Barcelona game from that result, because let's face it, there are not many teams that are going to go to the Camp Nou and, you know, come away with even a 1-0 loss or a 2-0 loss. I mean, that was pretty much on the cards, but the biggest point for us was how would Liverpool perform at Anfield, because I said it in an earlier episode that, you know, regardless of how Liverpool play away from home, at Anfield they're a different animal. I mean, you could even get the National Guard in there and they would smash them. So it was always going to be that when it came to the game against Barcelona. But yes, going back going back to the group stages, there was a lot of uncertainty as to where Liverpool would go, considering it seemed at one point of time that they just couldn't buy a point away from home. I guess the turning point was that result in Munich. Yes, it was a Munich team that probably wasn't at their best, but irrespective, it was still a very, very professional and clinical performance by Liverpool in Munich to kind of, you know, get
and
the
I mean,
kind of result that
Allianz
they
Arena is kind of a German Anfield, because whatever said and done, you do not
Absolutely.
Go to a top-notch European team's home ground and just simply beat them, regardless of whoever they put out there in the middle.
Yes, absolutely. I think that says it all. So I think that was the result that really gave them the confidence that they are capable of, you know, winning away from home. And they could, you know, go further and further in this competition, and they did. So I think that's all there is to say about it. But on Spurs' side, if you actually think about the game last night, yes, they did kind of, you know, create a few chances during a 10-15 minute period in the second half, where they suddenly started, it was like a shoot on sight kind of an order. But none of those shots were really,
that incidentally was just
high percentage shots.
That passage of play was incidentally just after Vishal had pointed out that Spurs have had zero shots on target.
Yes, and I think pretty much I get the message on my phone, and I think it was Son who takes the long range effort. Again, a very good save by Alisson. You had Dele Alli trying to kind of, you know, curl the ball into the far corner with hardly any power, but Alisson was good to that. So there was, like I said, you know, there were no
not to mention the Eriksen
shots, which
Eriksen free kick, which came
from
like 5 minutes later.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, Karan. So now that we are at the end of the season, there are two things you mentioned about Liverpool's this idea being in their DNA and about performing in Europe, and kind of retaining that soul of that team. So where do they go from here? They clearly have to build on this, because this is a culmination of 4 years worth of work from Klopp, from the owners, from the team, the backroom staff, through the players. What next in the 2019-2020 season?
I think it'll be a big mistake for Liverpool to think that this is the end of it. If anything, this should be the beginning. Liverpool, I mean, God forbid, as much as respect and love that I have for this club, they have been a team wherein, you know, they would kind of, you know, look to, they would achieve something extraordinary, and then just when you feel that, you know, now is the time for them to kind of build and, you know, get back to the peak as to where they belong, they've always kind of, you know, gone the other way. I mean, they won the Champions League back in 2005. You thought, okay, fine, now the next in line is for them to win the league in the next 2 or 3 years. They just failed to build the squad. If anything, that squad was basically, you know, kind of broken up after that. They challenged United a couple of times for the league again. You know, the squad is broken up again. But I think
I think for the first time we can look at Liverpool in the 21st century, and we can say that the likelihood of the squad being broken up is less than what it has been
yes.
in the previous occasion.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. I think now is the time for them to really, you know, invest in the squad. And by invest, I don't just mean, you know, splashing the cash and, you know, getting every player under the sun to this club. No,
although they have bought almost
them.
£100 million pound payout from winning the Champions League.
Yes, I wouldn't say that they haven't spent. Yes, they have spent big. But you look at the core of this team, you still have players like the two fullbacks over there who have had an extraordinary season, and these players who will, you know, eventually take the club forward.
And these are the guys who probably or should be rather given solid contracts right there, long-term contracts, because these are extremely valuable potential in terms of
yes.
the talent.
Yes, no question about it. And even you look at somebody like Henderson, who you know, has really been on the receiving end of quite a few trolls in recent seasons. But you cannot ignore the kind of influence that he has had on Liverpool this season. You look at someone like a James Milner, even at the age of, what is it, 33, 34, coming on and doing a job in any position on the field. I'm pretty sure that, you know, someday they might even ask him to stand in goal and he would still do a pretty decent job of it.
All right, and finally, of course, on a final note, where do Spurs go from here? Because for them, it seems like one of those moments where they try to reach a high, but now they have to come down from it. And theirs is a squad that has the possibility that it might be broken up.
Absolutely, and it's not just the squad, but there is a very good chance. I mean, there could be, between these two teams, if you really ask me which team's manager is more likely to remain, you would say it's Liverpool. With Spurs, you just don't know. I mean, fair enough, if Pochettino does continue, he's done a fantastic job there. He can still continue to, you know, build on what it is that they've achieved. I mean, let's face it, yes, they lost last time, but it's still an extraordinary achievement for a team like Spurs to get where they have. I think more than anything else, they need to sort out the business side of you know, the club. I mean, yes, they've invested a lot of money in the new stadium, which is definitely going to help them over the next, you know, 10-15 years. But they haven't been smart about it. They haven't invested. They've hardly invested anything in the transfer market over the last couple of seasons. The last the beginning of this season, they basically did not bring in any new players at all. So they need to be able to find that balance between planning for the long term and planning for the short term. So that is very, very important. But I think there is still a lot of positives that Tottenham can take out of it. I think it's pretty obvious now, at least, that they are the most dominant London team, no matter what Chelsea and Arsenal would like to, you know, say. So the next step for them, not just them, but even for Liverpool, is to make a genuine contention for the league. Although Liverpool did make a genuine contention this time around, maybe.
But to continue on that, 10%. Because I mean, surely this cannot be a one season wonder. This cannot be a flash in the pan. And the squad assembled, it would be a waste of all the resources that they've put together to not mount another title challenge, to not mount, like Jose Mourinho said yesterday, why can't, if Real Madrid can do three finals in a row, why can't Liverpool do three Champions League finals in a row? It's completely possible.
Yes, they can. Then there's no reason why they can't, because they've proved that, you know, reaching the finals last year was not just a flash in the pan, because they went one better this time around.
Right, and of course, hopefully they keep on building like that. This has been our final episode of the season. We are taking, of course, a two-month break, as football takes a break as well. Well, not quite a break. There will be Copa America on, but we are not really going to be too active at that point of time. But Karan, the European leg of your assignment for the season is also over. And
yes,
thankfully it has ended on a bit of a high note for Soccer Sense, finally. After multiple seasons. I think for the first time in the history of Soccer Sense in entirety, because we have been there from 2013 and we haven't had a satisfying conclusion to a European season like this. And hopefully this is one of many to come, which we will all be tracking on this podcast, no matter where you are or no matter where we are, because Karan in his summer transfer is likely going to a Chinese-administered territory. But we'll, of course, we're continuing to bring you Soccer Sense. You can find us on iTunes, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, you can find us on Google Podcasts, on Pocket Casts, or any other podcasting platform that you use. You can follow us on Twitter at SenseSoccer. You can follow us on Audioboom at audioboom.com/channel/soccer-sense. That's it for the season. This is Tariq signing off, along with Karan.
See you guys.
See you guys next time, and ale, ale, ale.